Okay. Welcome, everybody. The class, this is the fullest I've ever seen the class. Thank you for all of you being here today. Let's pray, and then we'll cover the matter of discipline, and then we'll get into instruction. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness to us as you guide us by your truth. And Lord, give us wisdom that we need daily. Thank you for your grace. Lord, that we can raise our children, Lord, knowing that we ourselves are weak and sinful and ignorant in so many ways, and yet, Lord, you have appointed us to care for them, and Lord, you'll give us the grace to do that, and you'll show mercy to our children. And so, Father, we bless your name, because you are our faithful Father, and you will help us. Lord, help us even to understand and be able to apply the things that we know in a consistent manner, in a loving way. Guide these parents, Lord, as they love their kids and they desire that they would grow up loving you. We ask your blessing upon our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I set forth some of those. We're looking at the manner of discipline, and so I think we began last week, or maybe I don't know if it was maybe last. Yeah, I think it was last week. So the first thing was it has to be done convincingly, and then I said convincingly that you are convinced that this is what you should do. Now I'm thinking about that. Sometimes kids know if you don't have a heart in the spanking, you know, if it's just like, you know, they'll sense when you have hesitation. So in a certain sense, and again, that's kind of the convincingly as applied to them. But the convincingly I'm talking about is no, this is right in God's sight. This is a good thing for their souls, and so that was the first thing that we talked about, and then done in love, and I guess what we would say that's the climate in which we want to raise our children anyway. That they know. That they are loved. And so in the midst of, as I said, I think I said it last time, that, or at least what I realized, even though I got some pretty good spankings and they were pretty consistent, there was never a doubt that Mom and Dad loved us. And, you know, and even though I could probably have said in my teenage years, you know, as you always do sometimes, you know, I don't think you really did love me when you were doing that, but they do, because that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to discipline, you know, consistently. And it's not one of those things that we necessarily find ourselves naturally inclined to do. And love is behind that, or should be behind that. And then I said, you know, we discipline with our hearts under control ourselves, that our emotions are not in sinful anger or resentment. We've got to get control of ourselves. And as I said, sometimes the way we can do that is that very the very way in which we carry out that discipline. And the way that we can do it is basically letting them know, informing them before it happens. Now, sometimes, you know, that information maybe have to be fairly quick or depending on the situation. But again, it's helping you to gain, say, okay, what am I doing this for? This is why I'm doing it. And as you reason to them, even though it may not even make sense to them, at least you're reasoning, you're calming down your own soul, you're letting them know what's happening and why it's happening, and that will help you. But it also, again, it's letting them know that you're not capricious or irrational, that basically you're out of your mind. No, I'm doing this because I want you to follow God. I want you to know that sin is, you know, something that we should not do, and that God, you know, God hates sin. And so you can do that. And then I said privately. Not in the grocery store, obviously, but they can know that when you get back from the grocery store, it's going to happen. They're not like dogs. Dogs, if you don't punish a dog immediately, it doesn't have any idea why you're spanking him 5 minutes later. You know, but you've got children are those who can be reasoned and said this is going to happen, and you can expect. You can expect it's going to happen. You're not going to be able to go and mess up in public and not have to worry about any consequences, right? So you want to follow through. But privately is the best way because, you know, there is a whole aspect that when we spank them, we're not seeking and we don't want to humiliate them. That's not our point. And so we've got to be mindful of that aspect too. This is the one I think we ended on. And this is the question that I said, you know, it's to be done firmly. And the word I use for it, there should be a sting in it. And again, like you guys have figured out where the sting comes, you know, it's the bare bottom, you know. And sometimes, you know, those are the ways to impress that. It's giving sting without harm. It's not being abusive, but it's in a sense, it's going to be painful that they realize that disobedience is a painful thing. Memorably painful is what I, you know, read one person said, that they remember it, you know, that I better not do that again. Now, it will come to their mind again, and they will again, because we do the same, right? We do it again. But it's not when they remember that, you know, it's not that my father or my mother is angry or mean. This is what they do all the time when I do that, and that's what I'm going to get. And so that's the thing that you want to do, is just not be abusive. And as I say that, that's one where I say this, you know, it shouldn't be tentative. You know, it should be firm. You know, you've got conviction behind it, and there's force behind it, and so that's good. I think I don't know if I ever told you that. Maybe I did. The mother telling the father, it was a pastor was telling the message of, and I think it was the discipline of himself or something, that the father had given him a spanking, and then the mom came into the room and told him to continue spanking. He says he's not sweetened up yet. So he got some more spankings. But he turned out to be a pastor. But who knows? You know, that's God's grace, not the mom's hand or the father's hand. But it's one of those things where it says, yeah, we're just going to sweeten you up. And this is the way we sweeten you up. Here we come to the sixth point. I think I did all those five. Is this, that it must be reasonable and proportional. You know, and in other words, and in fact, you know, the idea that, okay, there are some sins, okay, that are not as, I mean, what we realize before God, all sins are bad, okay, but some sins deserve worse punishment than other sins, you know, and as couples, you've got to kind of come to, and I'm going to probably say that here pretty soon here, but you should come to some agreement or some understanding again with regard to those kinds of offenses and what you will do and what they are, you know, what they should be subject to. Now, sometimes, you know, I think, Ashley, what do you say? You do the bang, bang, bang. And that sometimes works, the 333. And sometimes the 333 works, sometimes the 333 may work for all things. You know, and then we could do the cluster, you know, the cluster spanking, you know, all those kind of ideas. So she knows that you told us about the 20 times.
Oh, but I'm okay with that because I'm the same type of person, and I would have told you if Ashley.
Yeah, I know. Well, I figured both of you were that way. Yes.
We're both.
Yeah. That's Ashley and Annie.
Okay.
It's on. Okay. You know, so you have to take into consideration the offender and the offense. And because some offenders, like we said, sometimes they can be rebuked and broken, you know, certain ones. And it can be boys or girls that, you know, that sometimes a word is enough. But sometimes, just by nature of it, you know, it should be punished. But it doesn't necessarily, some respond better than others. And that's the thing, you know. So we've got to be mindful of that. Now, the seventh thing is this, that after the discipline is done, follow through, all right? Follow through with embrace, reassurance, and exhortation, all right? In other words, the assurance of your love, embrace them. That's kind of after you do that, you know, embrace them, you know, that the very hand that spanked them is also the one that embraces them, you know, as I said, assurance of that affection, but then also exhortation. You know, Jesus healed the man blind from birth, and then he goes and says, sin no more. You know, and so sin no more. So we say, you know, son, don't do that. Daughter, don't do that anymore. And we will pray for you, and you know, and those kind of things where you engage in conversation afterwards as well. So it's not just like bang and you're out. But no, the punishment's been done, and now you're brought in and embraced. Okay, which the Lord does when we confess our sins. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, and we're brought back into fellowship, you know, with Him, you know, and in the sense of fellowship. And that's what we want to do. It's once you deal with them, then it's not a matter, well, you know, I'm just going to remain angry with you. You know, it's that sense of reassurance and direction to them. So that's really what you want to do, that they have that sense, okay, things are good with me and Mom and Dad. You know, as much as a little creature can reason with those things. And as I'm saying, spanking is probably what I would say is reserved for the Pendleton years. Now, the Pendleton years, that's the Camp Pendleton. That's where it's authority and where it's the force of authority and where it's enforced authority. And that's those, you know, those years from, you know, it depends on the kid. But basically, I would say maybe 1 to 21. And I'm just teasing, okay? You know, some place, probably, you know, by the time first grade, second grade, well, you'll maybe get it through the grade school years. You know, that's kind of those Pendleton years, you know, that I would say that they are. Now, here's the most important one. And this, it must be consistently and persistently done. Consistency, I believe, is the most important thing with regard to them, because they will, if there's non-consistency, you know, in other words, repeat is necessary. Repeat is necessary. Do I have to do this? Repeat. You know, repeat. Stay consistent in it, you know. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who loves his son disciplines him diligently." You go, oh, diligently. Diligently requires what? Effort. Consistency. And it's easy, very easy, and especially for moms to become weary, because they're the ones who are usually have the responsibility at home and everything else, with the husband generally having, now husbands are homes and a lot of times and have that, so they can undertake that. But oftentimes the wives were the ones left with that responsibility, and that was where they were getting challenged all the time. Now, the one thing you have to do in this consistency is don't let your mood or feelings or weariness allow you to buckle in or get weary of doing it. Okay, stay steadfast in it. You know, I've done this so many times. You know, 19. Okay, do I have to do 20? Okay, yes. Don't weary. Okay, keep up at it, you know. And additionally, as I think about this, don't let a child's weariness or sickness be an excuse for their sin. You know, well, they're just tired. They're sick. Okay, well, is being tired, is being sick an excuse to sin for any of us? It isn't, you know. I'm just tired. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, you know. Get some rest, but you're going to get a spanking. You know, because you can't, if you get, let them have that excuse, then that they'll grow up, you know, making those kind of excuses for sin. But there's no excuses for sin. And so I don't think there's any factor so important as that. Get off the couch, you know, get off the couch, you know, and they don't do it, you know. Or maybe, yeah, get off the couch, okay, and you spank them, okay, because they got stayed on the couch, okay, and then they get on it again. And the little stinkers, you know this, you know, they're just kind of just sitting there, and it's like they kind of know, you know, and it's kind of like, well, no, I didn't hear that command repeated, you know. And you say, well, you've got to remind them. And see, that's what we say, that the bottom is a good place to start with giving them good brains. You know, that will help them remember. And so stay on it. And sometimes it's just those little things. You know, now you always want to be careful. And this is just something is, I think about when we have kids coming over. And then I think, well, maybe parents ought to think about this too. Is the idea that we don't necessarily put temptations before them for disobedience. you know, things that they'll kind of get involved in. You know, there's something that you want them to do, and then you've got, you know, you put toys out or something. So they don't carry out the, you know, I mean, things that contradict what you want them to do. So just be careful, you know, and think about that in the situations. Is this, in a sense, putting a temptation out for them? Now, it doesn't excuse them if they disobey that temptation, you know, in that temptation. But, you know, maybe we can just think of ways to do that. Because if parents kind of, yeah, okay, I'll just leave it at that. The lack of consistency is going to, will probably be the biggest thing that will be the, I think, is the factor of increased disobedience. That's really it. So, I think this is one of the most effective means. It's not so much, I said, the severity of the discipline, but the certainty of it. I know that if I do something that I'm not supposed to do, or that I'm going to answer for it. That's the best thing, that there's that consistency. Will we be consistent? No. There'll be reasons why we won't. And again, sometimes our own laziness or weariness, or we just, you know, just kind of, I play like I just didn't see it. I just don't want to do it again, you know. But you've got, but that's the best, that to try to be consistent. So mean what you say. Mean what you say and enforce what you say. Okay, that's, now, that was consistency, persistently. Okay, I have here the season of discipline. How long do I exercise that aspect of discipline? And again, I've used the terminology during the Pendleton years. Discipline's always appropriate where there's been sin, but the character of it has to change, and that's always the challenge as they get older. Because now a physical spanking in some way can be kind of humiliating. You know, a father taking his 14-year-old son, maybe, you know, and saying, okay, I'm going to spank you. And sometimes that 14-year-old son might be bigger than the dad. So those are difficult issues. So some of that changes. And so your enforcement of that or punishment of that has to take different forms, you know. And there's, I haven't put down any of those things, you know, at this point with regard to that. The next point is this, the enforcer, all right, the enforcer of discipline. Fathers, you're the only father here besides me, okay? You're to be the enforcer, okay? You're to be the enforcer. And here's the thing, the wives, as the scripture says, are the rulers of the roost. You know, they're the house despots. They're the house managers, when, you know, and so you carry the same responsibility as the father, but the father is the one to whom these things are addressed. In other words, it has to be, in one sense, you know, it's interesting in 1 Peter 1, Peter says, you know, fear the father during your stay on the earth. You know, in other words, we know God as our father who has redeemed us. But there's still to be a fear, an honor, a respect, you know, a sense of accountability to our father, you know. And so fathers have to bring, I guess I would call it that father fear, that listen, you know, maybe I can pull it over on mom, or maybe mom's getting weary, that dad himself is going to make sure that they obey mama. You know, or if mama says, basically, okay, you know, I've done it 25 times, and now, you know, I'm done. Dad's getting home. When dad gets home, dad will deal with it. You know, in other words, the fear of the father is a good thing, of his authority, and the fact of that he will work those things out. And so, and that's probably at least the constant thing that I've heard is that moms themselves just get tired. I'm always doing it. And I think the fathers have to kind of come in on that and assist them, and even speak to the children about that. That I'm, you know, I've heard mama said that, you know, there are some difficulties and things like that and whatever, that's going to be enforced and her will is going to be carried out. And they're going to look at the mother, you know, when they hear her voice, they're going to be thinking of the father's voice as well and authority. And so that there's that that support and that enforcement. And so this is what, so as I finish this part of it off, it's going to be this. You must be united on all of these things. In other words, as couples, you need to be united with regard to our perspectives on spanking, when and how, and on the consistency of it, and that there's no double standard. That they know that they can expect from mom and dad the same things. You can't play, you know. Okay, I can get by with sins in front of mom. It's a little bit easier, or maybe dad's, you know. And sometimes dads, what do dads want to do? This is the problem, you know. The dads want to come home and play with the kids. You know, mom's, she's already struggled with the kids, and dad's come home to play with the kids, which is fun, you know. But then dad has to say, well, you know, I've also got to deal with them too, you know, with regard to the things that they may have done that have frustrated mom. So be united, monolithic, you know, in your convictions about those things and the practice, so that there isn't any difference between mom and dad with regard to that. Dads carry some authority. Voice carries authority. Speak with authority, you know, those kinds of things children do respond to, you know, and so dads enforce that. Now, what we want to do is I want to go to instruction, all right? As we're looking at Ephesians, and I'm just going to go back to that text, Ephesians 6. Just to let you know where we're back on it, that training and that nurture. We have children, obey your parents, and then we have fathers, verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline is the hands-on. Discipline is what we do. Instruction is what we say. All right? Yes, I see that hand. Yes. I think there's other means, yes. Mm-hmm. I would say that I would still, you know, timeouts, you know, I'm not sure about a timeout, you know. What is the timeout? Is the timeout for the parent, you know, or is it for the child, you know? Because I'm not sure why you would do that, okay? No, because it's, you know, usually it's kind of like, you know, where there's sin, it's time in, you know, not time out, you know. In other words, no kind of time out's almost like ignoring, you know, and just saying we're not going to do something. Now, sometimes removing something, you know, from them is pretty effective. I mean, it's still in my mind. This is to this day, you know, my brother and I were being mean to our sister. All right, ganging up on her, you know, bad boys. And Mama told us, you know, if you do this, you know, if you do anything like this, you're not going to see 101 Dalmatians. Now, this was way back when. This was the original Disney one, you know. And we were just looking so forward to seeing it, you know. And we messed up, you know. We messed up, and Mom says, you're not going, you know. And, you know, my brother and I going, yeah, sure, you know. And so we're in the car with her, taking my sister to 101 Dalmatians, you know, and Roxanne gets out of the car, and then we're expecting to get, no, you're in the car, and you're not going to 101 Dalmatians, you know. And, I mean, I just still said, dude, she enforced that, you know. I just remember that. I mean, both of us were just going, you know, I think we were fourth or fifth grade. And I never saw 101 Dalmatians, you know. And in fact, I've never wanted to see it now, you know, because of that. So there are some things that are effective like that, you know. Like you were saying, maybe taking something away, you know. But if, you know, but it depends on, you know, what they were they listening to you, you know, or were they, or did they grab it from somebody else? I mean, whatever the circumstances are, you know, maybe some of those things might be appropriate to some extent, you know. Yeah, I think there's ways of impacting them, you know, that there, that probably the one thing is always going to be consequences for disobedience, you know, and so sometimes some of those things and just, you know, just in the course of things can be pretty impactful. Yeah. That's the only
question on timeout.
Yeah.
What you're saying, because like we used to do timeout and then it ended up like a time where he would just play. So then it was like, well, he's just getting reinforced because he's playing, right?
Yeah.
You're like timeout in your room. Well, there's where all his toys are. But I remember as a child, my dad would make me stand like an inch away from like a blank white wall, and it's almost like you're a prisoner in solitary confinement. And your mind is just, you're staring at this blank wall, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
And that, would that work?
I would like to sit in a chair and, like, in the bathroom staring at the wall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, super close to your mind. Actually,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. And, which is okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about, and all those things. Because I forgot. Remember the old pictures of the little kid with his dunce cap? You know, facing the corner. Yeah, I forgot about the corner thing. You know, I don't think we ever got the corner. You know, but we always thought about somebody getting the corner. You know, so that's interesting. But the timeouts and corners and all those things, all they do is delay or prolong the punishment. The one advantage, you know, it seems like of spanking is you get it, you take care of it. You don't put it off. They're not, it's not a prolonged matter of, okay, how long, you know, what am I doing? Look, staring at the wall. You know, okay, no, you just got a spanking and now it's dealt with. You know, so there's, I'm not saying that those things would necessarily be wrong at certain times, but I think the other one's more effective, and it also is, I guess, way quicker, and it restores. It allows for a restoration to take place more quickly. Down the line, you know, when spanking becomes or can become difficult or something, then those other things are good. But yeah, and that's what we're always praying for. I mean, we're always praying for, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, and I don't know how they're going to respond. You know, and am I ready? And so, you know, I mean, that's the thing we do as a parent. It almost seems like the first prayer of a parent, you know, is, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today. Please, you know, give me wisdom that I'll be able to respond and do that. And, you know, and the Lord knows. I mean, we're not perfect, you know. And God's perfect. He's the one who'll take care of our kids, you know. We just try to do what we want. And He knows what we are. He knows that we have that frailty and inconsistency. So but we still want to have conviction to do the best we can, you know. And those are the good means that God has given. So, those are good questions, though. Very good. I'd forgotten the dunce in the corner. I was trying to think of those things that, yeah, I was trying to think of some of those means. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where timeouts came out. Timeouts seem like a cop-out. That's a little my idea. It's a cop-out on doing what you should do. So, no offense intended against anybody. Okay. All right. So now it's the instruction of the Lord, and we'll take that up next time. Okay? We'll just do that. The instruction of the Lord. And so we'll get down. What we'll get to is this whole matter of communication with them and speaking with them, because that's what you'll be doing more than you will be doing the discipline. You know, you hope, you know, and that's what you'll be doing. So that's what we'll talk about the next time. So we don't rush. Okay. So you've already asked all your questions, right? Maybe have some more. We have a hotline at the, you know, there is a parent hotline. And Nina Chaffin has agreed to. Nina, that is so sweet of you. Okay. And then I'll say a couple, after we finish that, I'll do a couple of things just with regard to teens.
This is kind of random, but it does not do child.
Oh. Yeah.
But obviously, we want them in God's word, so you're like, hey, you have to read a chapter a day or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that something you force them to do, or like, what does that look like?
We didn't force them to do that. Mm-hmm. We tried to encourage them to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Besides, and that's the other thing that we'll cover too, that is just really just family devotions or family worship. You know, where at least you have a time that's focused for the family, that you're going to be able to do that in a certain, as much, again, consistently as you can, to have that instruction and that time of reading and prayer with the family. So, yeah. And again, some I don't have a problem with somebody obviously saying, okay, I want you to read the scriptures. We didn't do that. Yeah. So, but don't rely on the school either if they're going to a Christian school. You know, say, well, they get that at school. And that's the other problem that's so easy now, because we do have Christian schools or we have private schools or charter schools, which are nice, and they do a, grateful for them. But then sometimes as parents, we just kind of say, phew, you know, they're giving them the Bible. Mm-hmm. Them telling us, well, still, you just want it. You want it to come, the main understanding of the scriptures ought to come from the home.